this pantsuit, it's asbestos tonight.
And that's a good thing because Senator Clinton did take some heat, but she threw a couple of flames of her own at the Democratic debate held at the Cox Pavilion at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. Along with CNN moderators, some locals were able to ask questions, and some of the candidates, other than Clinton, Obama, and Edwards, actually got to answer them.
Wow.
Ryan Lizza is a staff writer at The New Yorker magazine. He's going to walk through the aftermath of the debate with us. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great. So for folks who didn't stay up and watch it, like you and me.
Like normal people.
Normal people who are watching Ugly Betty and 30 Rock. For the first 15 minutes, it was really just about Clinton and Obama saying, I know you are, but what am I?
That's exactly right.
Let's listen to a little bit of their tussle over health care. Here's Obama on his plan.
I do provide universal health care. The only difference between Senator Clinton's health care plan and mine is that she thinks the problem for people without health care is that nobody has mandated, forced them to get health care. That's not what I'm seeing around Nevada. What I see are people who would love to have health care. They desperately want it. But the problem is they can't afford it, which is why we have put forward legislation. We put forward a plan that makes sure that it is affordable to get health care that is as good as the health care that I have.
Now here's Senator Clinton's response.
There's a big difference between Senator Obama and me. He starts from the premise of not reaching universal health care.
Hold on, one at a time.
No, I understand, but look, I'm not going to...
Senator Obama, we're going to have a lot more health care.
Okay, that was very Jerry Springer for a minute with the crowd going on. Ultimately, who came out ahead in the Obama-Clinton exchanges of the night?
I think just if you think about what often these things are tested by who won the expectations game, right? So going into this was the big challenge for Hillary Clinton. For the last 2 weeks, she has been on the defensive. Everyone's been ganging up against her. She's had a bunch of stumbles. So tonight was all about does that bad record sort of continue on into this debate? And I don't think it did. I think she had a good night. She was back to the old Hillary, the sort of super policy wonk who has an incredible command of the issues and just sort of looked commanding on stage. I think what happened in the last debate is you had Tim Russert, a really aggressive inquisitor, just go after her really hard and stumble her on a couple of issues like the driver's license issue and the records at the presidential library down in Arkansas. At this debate, it was a little bit easier for her.
Yeah, she does this thing where she sort of... has this, her composure is, oh, I'm already president.
Oh, exactly.
She doesn't even talk about the other candidates. She goes like right after Bush in the Republican Party.
That's right. It's why she has this whole thing where why should we be attacking each other? We should be attacking the Republicans. Well, you do that as the front runner because you don't want people to attack you. You know, you sit comfortably on your lead and you sort of argue that, oh, you're attacking me. You're using George Bush talking points. I think she used at one point. That's what she said about Obama. And I think Obama missed a big moment there on health care. You know, they got bogged down into this debate on whether you need a mandate or not in your universal health care plan, which is an interesting debate. But the truth of the matter is none of these health care plans are going to actually survive. There's going to be a long congressional debating process, right? And all the details are going to be on the table. So I thought what Obama could have done there is point out, you know, Hillary Clinton, you had your chance on health care. It's time for someone else to get a chance. And he didn't go there, which was kind of funny because he's been talking about some of the problems of the Clinton years recently. He's been talking about Hillary as a triangulator and how you need someone new.
Another interesting thing was the audience, as you heard there, felt free to boo when one candidate pointed out another's problems. And it seemed to shake John Edwards a little bit because he's been so pointed and the others seized on him pretty specifically, engaging what they were calling mudslinging and dirty tactics. Listen to Edwards.
Just over the course of the last week, Senator Clinton said in Washington that she would vote for the Peru trade deal, and she said in Iowa, talking to union members, that she wanted a moratorium on trade deals. And I think people are entitled to know that they have choices. There's nothing personal about this.
Did he lose ground last night?
You know, I thought that was one of the best points of the night. You know, she did say one thing in Iowa and another thing somewhere else. But
he got booed.
But he was totally overwhelmed by this pro-Hillary audience that booed the poor guy.
It was like the House of Commons or something.
What's that?
It was like the British House of Commons.
Absolutely, which was kind of fun. But yeah, the audience was sort of in Hillary's camp as far as, you know, let's not attack each other. Let's go after Republicans instead. So it made it tough for Obama and Edwards. You know, you don't want to be under fire from the audience when you're up there on that stage.
So something you mentioned earlier, you talked about how Hillary Clinton had a little bit of a harder time with Tim Russert. And it's not just because I work for NBC part-time, but he was tough. And this debate format, it seemed a little stiff, and it really didn't seem to work for CNN. I'm not trying to pile on. I noticed a little bit of agitation of the candidates, sort of turning on the moderators, everything from the questions to the amount of airtime. Let's listen to this montage we put together.
Senator Biden.
No.
I want you to weigh in.
Don't do it. No. Don't make me speak.
When you talked about Pakistan, you didn't get a chance to come to me on that question, but I want to point something out to you, Wolf.
Suzanne's decided I'm not answering her question. I'm answering the question of the woman who was there, okay?
That was just unbelievable. At one point, Dennis Kucinich said to the moderator, "Hello, I'm over here."
I'm taking my UFO out of here.
That's right. Well, you know what I think we've learned in these debates is the more bells and whistles that they add to the debates, the worse they are. The better debates are simple, fewer moderators, no audience participation, where you're just firing away getting the candidates to speak as much as possible. And that's what the last MSNBC debate did. They just, you know, this debate, we had this long intro where they introduced the candidates like it was a Knicks game.
They came out of the corridor and you're like, oh, who's going to shake hands and who didn't?
Exactly.
And Hillary and Obama
kind of
didn't?
Moment.
What was that?
That is kind of a fun moment to watch the body language, I guess.
So afterward in the spin room, there's always a sense of who won, who lost, and it's hard to boil it down like that. But what was the spin room like?
Now, you're catching me here now because I actually didn't make it. I was not at the spin room.
Oh, all right.
So, but you
that's
don't need
actually
to
a good
room.
Thing. I actually applaud you for not going into
the spin room. Yeah, I have to tell you, the spin room is a dying institution. The news of this cycle of these debates is that the spin room is just totally over. Because what happens now is every reporter has a blog or a deadline, and they don't even make it to the spin room. They're immediately going to their computers to file stuff.
That's interesting.
So the last debate, when I was in the spin room in Philadelphia, these poor surrogates for the candidates would stand around there with their signs and nobody to talk to them. You know?
That's really interesting that that's just of a bygone era.
It is. It's kind of it's dying. So you get what happens in the spin room nowadays is you get a lot of foreign journalists who don't have to file. So you get a lot of obscure European questions. So, you know, Mark Penn, the main Clinton advisor, or David Axelrod, the main Obama advisor, you know, start talking to the Japanese press about Obama's policy on some local Japanese issue.
All right. Did you enjoy the debate quickly before we go?
You know, I thought it was okay. I thought it was a bit of a disappointment. I think CNN, like you said, didn't do as good a job as MSNBC had.
Yeah.
And, it didn't. What we want in these debates is for the storyline to change, and I don't think it quite changed after this one.
Ryan Liz is a staff writer at The New Yorker magazine. I hope you come back, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up on the BPP, put down the melted butter and the tiny fork. That lobster you so callously boiled for your succulent enjoyment might actually be feeling pain. There is a new study out, another salvo in the war over can crustaceans feel pain or not. We'll talk about that.
We'll also bring you the most clicked on and emailed stories on the web. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.